So we're recording.
Of course you're gonna say that. Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Screen Zone podcast. My name is Rahul.
I'm Madhav.
Yes, and today we are discussing something that we've been looking forward to for many months. For me, I've been looking forward to this for what, 2-3 years or something like that. It's crazy, and it's weird but astonishing to say this, but Zack Snyder's Justice League is here. The Snyder Cut exists and it's out there and everyone can watch it, and we have watched it, all 4 hours of it. And
yes, Rahul, hence we are doing this review,
and it's gonna be a big one. Not that as big as the movie, hopefully not. I mean, I could go on for hours for that, but...
the movie is also beefy, so there's like a lot of shit to discuss.
Yeah. So
there might be 2 parts, we don't know, let's see.
Let's see. So before we get started, I just want to know we just want to talk about a little bit about our relationship with this entire project. The version that came out, the version we just saw, all of it. So, Madhav, what's your relationship to the previous... to the Justice League? Like, what's your take on it, and how close have you been to this project? Like, how much did you know about this going into it?
So I obviously was excited for Justice League when the first trailer came out. My reactions were pretty much the mass reactions, like excited for the first trailer, and then as more trailers happened and then we got to know of things happening behind the scenes and who was hired and everything, I was a little bit disenchanted, and I should have been more disenchanted because the movie sucked. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it justice. Get ready for a lot of justice and league puns. Chargandika movie bahut hai. So I didn't like the movie, obviously. And this is the reason the Snyder Cut even exists, because even I could tell ki this was changed and that the original thing was something else, definitely. Mm-hmm. Something else. It wasn't like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Where you could tell there's more, but it works even without it. Here you could tell there was way more, because like the Justice League movie 2 hours ka pagal hai kya. So.
Also, then even the original trailers where like you could, even if you didn't know what went behind the scenes,
there were trailer shots where I was like, ye kidhar tha?
Yeah.
Where? And you could tell it's been changed. So the whole Whedon thing happened. Then when the Snyder Cut ka, like, there was some lobbying for it, I was like, yeah, it would be cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
An actual director's cut or something. And then the whole Snyder thing started happening. At first, I was really, 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 really excited. Mm. You know, like, finally, you know, you're getting a Justice League movie, which was originally intended, that wasn't changed. So obviously, and seeing the state of what Justice League was, I was clearly very like that the original cut has to be better. There's no way it could be worse. Yeah. Or even equally bad. It has to be better.
You could see the studio notes in that theatrical version.
Clearly. Just the fact that like the runtime of it is 1:59:59.
Yes.
Fuck off. So
the movie is actually even shorter than 2 hours. It's like 1 hour 40-50 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like, so I was like, okay, I'm really excited because I know Zack Snyder is very passionate about it. There is no denying that. He's super passionate about DC and the superheroes and stuff and representing them on film. Now, as soon as there was more and more hype around it, I was kind of getting into it. I was like, yeah, this should be good. I'm kind of excited. Nearing the release of it, however, there was so much hype and I was like, this might blow up in our faces. Hmm. Because there was the exact same hype for BVS and Suicide Squad, the exact same.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing DC has taught me, is it's not to trust the trailers. So
it's a valuable lesson
by the release. Very, very, very valuable lesson, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was kind of keeping my excitement down because I hate being disappointed about shit, obviously. Mm. So I was thoda sa reserved going into it. And I didn't follow all the tiny, minute things. I just know that aspect ratio change. I know. And beach mein, just for fun, before the whole Snyder Cut had existed, I had read on Wikipedia that there was an entire section of things that were supposed to be in the original cut.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
They
yeah.
were like cut out. And I was like, there is no way they would have fit that into 2 hours. WB, what the fuck is wrong with you? And at that time, I was like, I was in the mind state ki, haan, superhero movie hai, toh just seeing this shit would be really awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is my relationship with it. I wasn't as close to it as you were, clearly. Like, it's almost as if you were on set. So I wasn't as close to it, but that's more also because I like to be away from things. You know this. I like to be surprised in movies. I don't even really watch the trailers anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been my relationship with Justice League and ZSGL.
Yeah, yeah. So to me, when it was announced that Snyder is departing, we know, all know the reasons and all. So when we knew that he was leaving and they were bringing in Joss Whedon, at first I was like, because generally I'm very optimistic about these things. I want to see the best version of whatever it can be. So I was thinking, okay, you know what? He has done two big movies, ensemble characters, superhero characters and all that. So yeah, like he does have experience and that experience can come in handy. So that was, and yeah, because the previous two movies had been very dark and grim, especially for casual audiences, like for hardcore audiences, we will still eat it up. Because like we know these characters, like we relate with them so much more than casual audiences. So it made sense to me why they brought Joss Whedon in. And the studio was also, you know, playing their cards and frankly lying that, oh, you know what, Zach picked him for co-writing duties, whatever. Right. Yeah. Which is complete lie. But then right before the release, the mandate came that it has to be 2 hours. That's when I started picking up on, okay, wait, something is wrong behind the scenes, right? And then, of course, I saw the movie and you could tell what is reshot, what is Whedon humor, what is Snyder humor, you could tell.
Yeah.
So that whole thing happened. And my initial review, I wrote it. And my initial review was not, I wouldn't say like overly positive. It was like 2.53 stars, waisa type ka. You're like, you know what, this is fine. The direction is better than the previous movies because it was for any casual viewer.
A little more planned. That's one thing I really liked it, that even Stuckman said. I agree. This surprisingly feels like made by one director. It doesn't feel like two people made it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that happened. And then I just kind of, okay, fine, whatever happened, happened. Let's look forward to the other DC movies. And then Snyder, over the years, started releasing photos, like photos from his cut on Vero.
A year ago, I had a great version of this.
Except here's the thing. So when I started viewing those photos, that's when I started getting a little more interested. Okay, fine. Like, what is it? Like, I know there's a lot more, but like, what exactly was in there? And so, obviously, especially in the last, like, what, in the last year, ever since it was announced back last, like, May or June, something like that. It's been almost a year since it was announced that, yes, we're doing it, we're releasing it, we're finishing it.
Yeah.
That's when I started getting even more into it, because Snyder has gone on to many like conventions and screenings and he has openly said stuff. You know what, Louis marne wali thi, ye hone wala tha, all that stuff. He was very open because he never thought that he would get the chance to do this. And then, so obviously that happened. So I pretty much knew almost everything going into this, like what's different, what was his story ideas and everything. And even I was surprised. Even I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I was happy that, oh, like, thank God I didn't know this. Like, even though I knew some big reveals, I knew that also this is a spoiler review, so we're gonna get the spoilers. I knew going into it that, okay, in the end, Flash is gonna reverse time. Take care. Okay. I knew, like, even big plot points like that, I knew. But I didn't know Cyborg ka, like, I just knew Cyborg ka kafi backstory tha, they cut it. I didn't know, holy shit, he's the main character. I didn't know that. So it's been a very like satisfying, joyous experience for me. And I know there are a lot of naysayers for this entire movement, for this entire whatever, this whole Snyder Cut movement, that, you know, there are toxic fan base, and is it right for a studio to reward a toxic fan base? And they're partly right. There is a
part of toxicity coming from, but that doesn't apply here.
And also, because that's what banged the drums in the first place, because that toxicity is how it started very much. Now, in the recent times, obviously, we've seen the amount of good work this fandom can also do for mental health, raising money for it and whatnot. And even Snyder has been very supportive. In fact, he said that, you know what, the movie doesn't matter. Even if it never comes out, this matters, that you guys came together and did something good. So it's kind of hypocritical that a lot of media doesn't focus on that part. They focus on the vocal minority, which is always going to be toxic. But anyway, I'm happy this movie exists now. I'm happy I got the chance to see it, all 4 hours of it. Oh God, 4 hours. I this movie is custom made for me. I texted a friend of mine who's also a DC fan, and we're like, this movie is custom made for us. Everything, obviously you can complain about a few things here and there. You can complain about, oh, you know what, this part was not needed, whatever. And we'll get into it. But even with those things, and I'll agree that some of those things can be cut out and wouldn't make a difference. But I really, really love the fact that it's there. So let's get into it. So Madhav,
you start with yours. You're
I'll start. Okay, I'll start. So, so the way we discussed it was, we're not going to go exactly beat by beat, because that will take a long time. We'll start off with the general things, the general differences, and then go on from there. So, so let's start with the general differences, right? And the biggest difference is, of course, Cyborg's backstory. His uniqueness that he brings to the team, his central purpose, and his relationship with his parents, especially with Silas Stone, his father, that blew me away. And of all the seven chapters in the movie, the third chapter, Beloved Mother, Beloved Son, is my favorite chapter. And that is saying something in a movie where you get to see Darkseid, Injustice, Flash running through time, and the old gods versus the new gods. That's saying something. That chapter, I was blown away. And so, and this time we get to see, and we see in the theatrical cut, that we get the gist of it in the theatrical cut, that his dad just comes in and basically dumps an exposition about his backstory. Oh, you know what, after your mother died, I was blah, blah, blah. But here we get to see the entire thing. We get to see how his mother dies.
Yeah, it goes into proper flashback. It gives it does justice to his story.
It does justice to everyone.
We have a counter, huh? How many puns I have made this time. So Cyborg's story is easily the one, if not the, it's one of the best parts of the movie. I, to the point where I thought, this could have been a standalone movie. And then they could have just had Cyborg in Justice League. But I'm glad that his character was given, because he's one character who does deserve a good backstory, because he's so OP.
Yeah. In this version how OP he is.
Exactly.
In the last one, he was just a cyborg war machine.
Exactly. So in the last one, he wasn't technically OP, but he could just, anytime they had a problem, he's like, oh, by the way, I can do this.
I plugged into the internet, I did the thing that's convenient.
Exactly. So where he was more of a contrivance than a character. Here, his backstory is very fleshed out. Ray Fisher fucking killed it, I thought. Is his CGI improved? I think his CGI is better.
Very much.
It does look like CGI, but the design of it is better. It's slightly brighter. It's easier on the eyes, things like that. But even his story, his arc of him basically accepting his father despite all that he's done, getting to see where he's coming from. instead of just in the last one, it was just like, oh, you made me a monster, fuck you. Now it was like, oh, he's never been there for him. And then he did this, which is why, so it makes sense. His arc is just the most satisfying part of the whole movie. It's done justice. So
I'm keeping a counter. Part,
best Cyborg's thing, best another best part of the movie, Alfred.
Oh, dude.
Number one, he's given more screen time, which is good because he was the best part of Justice also. All the sass that he has and the fact that he gets more interaction with different characters. He's telling Gal Gadot how to make tea and shit. I get like, okay, we'll get into the pacing and storytelling of it later, but just as a plain moment, that shit is awesome. I want to see Alfred interact with more, especially this Alfred. Jeremy Irons' Alfred is awesome.
Jeremy Irons' Alfred, he certainly deserves a cult following.
He's my favorite character in the movie, hands down. Other positives were what? I loved the action. Every time there was an action scene, I was hype. I was like, yehi pura movie hona chahiye.
Also, I was surprised. Like, obviously, we knew the theatrical cut, it had to cut down, and also, obviously, not every sequence will be the full sequence. It had to be cut down.
Yeah.
But even stuff which, on paper, which I'm not really looking forward to. So, stuff like Wonder Woman's entrance, that museum heist scene, not heist, but like bomb blast scene, that hostage sequence. That sequence in general, it doesn't really do much for the story, right? It doesn't really add much.
Open intro.
Yeah, it's just like a cool intro for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But even then, there are it's an extended version of the theatrical cut. But even then, there are just moments in there which I'm like, why would you cut that from the theatrical? It wouldn't have increased the runtime.
Exactly. There's a lot of shit in this where I'm like, why would you cut that from the theatrical? Yeah. And then there's a lot of shit vice versa also, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. Also, this entire movie shows just how much, obviously we know, like, the director, obviously someone like Zack Snyder who plans out his movies so much, like, he storyboards every frame. So they know exactly what they're shooting, right? They know exactly how it's going to turn up in the edit. So you can see in the theatrical cut, I don't know if you noticed, but even the same shots, the same shots, the same cuts from the theatrical and here, you can see why it was shot that way. Because in the theatrical cut, if you see something like, Batman jumping down and he's fighting a parademon. He's just having hand-to-hand with a parademon for, 3 seconds. It's just like 2 shots. That's it.
Yeah.
In the theatrical, it feels like he's struggling very much. Because banda block nahi kar pa raha hai bechara. He's like that. In this one, you see it's been sped up a little bit. They're speed ramping. And here you get the feel, okay, he's a badass. So obviously there's a lot of slow-mo speed ramping and all. But even stuff you wouldn't have thought were actually supposed to be speed ramped from the theatrical cut is done so here. So now you can see, oh, that's why it was shot that way. So even the Snyder stuff that I knew was Snyder stuff in the theatrical cut, I wasn't fully on board with some of the stuff.
Because even the Snyder stuff has been edited.
Yeah. And now after I get to see, okay, so that's what he meant when he shot it. And I should have seen it coming. You should have seen it coming. We're student editors, right? So we should have seen it coming thoda bahut ki, you know what? Shot composition, music, score, color grade, everything changes the feel of a scene.
Which scene was I watching? I just saw some clip right before watching Snyder Cut. Mm-hmm. I think it was that one only where Wonder Woman meets Cyborg for the first time in that.
In that alleyway.
Yeah. I think I was watching that scene and I'm like, the editing is horrendous. So clearly done. It's like, when we, in our student projects, we get a badly acted take. And you know how sometimes we have to edit around the acting rather than other things like continuity and story?
Mm.
it felt like that, not because of the acting, because they had to cut it down. And so yeah, another thing I really like was Flash's intro scene.
Mm-hmm.
Was fucking awesome. Why would you cut that out?
Why would
you make his intro scene the him speaking to his father and him making mustache on his face or whatever? Like, what?
And even I'm surprised, like, okay, that thing, like, it's all cool and all, but so getting down to it, right, what did WB want? They wanted two things. One, to cut it down to 2 hours.
Mm.
And two, after you cut down to 2 hours, there's gonna be some story gaps. So, yeah. Plus they wanted some, like, you know, lighten the tone and all that, but they also wanted to alter the story a little bit. But yeah. There are scenes in here which serve the exact same purpose.
Exactly.
Which have been reshot. Like that scene which you just talked about when Wonder Woman meets Cyborg for the first time.
Yeah, it's the exact same scene.
It's the exact same scene. The outcome is the same. Why would you need to reshoot it just to change the dialogue?
Just to change the dialogue and just to make it shorter. Because that scene
is far
shorter.
Yeah.
Because I think they did that because they cut down Cyborg's story entirely, no?
Yeah,
and the conversation that they have here is very, like, quite pivotal to his arc.
Mm.
And it wouldn't work if they gave him just that one thread of backstory, ki I'm a monster now.
Also, there's so many small... I've told this to a couple of other people. This movie is a masterclass in teaching you... ek to story to tumne change kiya, that is one thing, right? But it's a masterclass in teaching you just how the edit, even with the same scenes, just how the edit and the music score can turn a bad scene into a good scene. And also alter the story. So when they're about to resurrect Superman, right? In the theatrical cut, Cyborg says, you need to touch the cube right when it touches the water. Theek hai. There's no time travel bullshit involved there at all. Theek hai. And it's a cool scene. Here, so this scene actually involves time travel to a very small extent, where it goes inside the water, Barry's running through time.
Just barely, and then it comes out, and then he has to touch it.
Also, B, it plants the seed that he can do time travel for the third act.
Yeah.
So, and because they cut out the third act almost entirely from the theatrical cut, they had to alter this scene also. and I'm just okay, you know what, I understand some of the intent behind everything, like, even forgetting all the, like, bad shit WB did. I get the intent. If I'm being an optimist, I get some of the intent. But even then, don't you want your cool superhero movie to have cool superhero stuff going on to it. And not a Russian family who we don't care about.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what I liked best about this movie, is the cool superhero shit. All the scenes, and I noticed that it's the exact same thing even in the action scenes, where the essence of the scene is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when Superman is resurrected and he punches Batman or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he's about to laser Batman. You didn't need the do you bleed thing. And it's like, oh, something's bleeding. Fuck off.
The only good thing to come out of Justice League is the memes. And the memes are just screen grabs.
Even this should have a lot of memes, but, like, again, we'll get into that. Now getting into my negatives.
Okay.
This scene reminds me of one huge negative, which is Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Why does WB hate Lois Lane?
I don't.
Her entire existence in this movie was, oh, Clark, you shouldn't be dead. I want you here. I'm not a functional character without you, Clark.
You know what? They did her even more dirty in the theatrical cut, because, overall, like, she doesn't have much to do in this movie. She's just brooding because Clark and all. That's fine. But at least she has her integrity, and she has a mini arc. Like, I've left my job, I've left the Daily Planet, and towards the end, she's like, you know what, I'll go back to it. Not towards the end, right before Superman is resurrected. She's like, you know what, I'll go back into the world. in the theatrical cut, remember the scene between her and Martha at the Daily Planet? So what they essentially did was they took the Martha and Lois scene here, where it's revealed she is Martian Manhunter, but even without that, they took this scene, they put it, they basically replaced this scene with that scene in the theatrical. And what do we get in the theatrical? Clark always told me you were the thirstiest woman he ever met.
Yeah.
Hungriest. Oh, toba, toba, toba.
That was just... Yeah, I did like that scenes feel more polished here. Every time there's a change, it feels slightly more thought out and planned, which is good. But I didn't like this Martha Manhunter.
Yeah, it was unnecessary, and it was... You could tell Martha that, okay... Martha
Manhunter itself was entirely unnecessary. Martha Manhunter, sorry. Martha Manhunter was, I felt, entirely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Even for a director's cut. He didn't need to be in the movie. Either do something or fuck off. Like, you can't be like, this is like the epic, insane battle going on, and Martian Manhunter is like, main chill maar ke aata hu end mein baad mein.
Yeah, that was complete.
I have more people to impersonate.
That was completely
That was bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Now getting to the bigger negatives I have is kind of the same issues I have with every Zack Snyder movie. And it's the story and the storytelling.
Okay.
I thought the story, while yes, it has more depth, which is good, it doesn't have enough depth to do justice to the tone that they are trying to go for.
Okay.
Because if you see the first 2 hours of the movie, especially the second hour, removing Cyborg's backstory, everything in the movie has this tone of trying to be really epic and really gritty and really like important. But the story doesn't have enough matter over there to earn it, which is what I felt. It has more motivation behind characters, which is good, but motivations only justify actions. What you need for complex characters and interesting characters is their philosophy.
Yeah.
And that is where Zack Snyder needs to improve, like, in general. He seems like a really cool guy. I like Zack Snyder as a person. He seems very passionate about movies. He seems very passionate about these characters. He seems like he enjoys this stuff, and he seems like a really cool guy to hang out with. What I don't like is his filmmaking style. Is that I've never liked. That visual beauty is like elite.
Yeah.
This movie is actually kind of good looking. The more I would watch it, the more I feel it's a good looking movie. So was the first like 70% of Batman v Superman. And even to an extent, Man of Steel, I thought.
Yeah.
He achieves visual beauty really well. And that's, you said, because he plans the storyboards out really well. He needs to do the same thing with the story itself, and more importantly, the storytelling. Because if you see the dialogue in this movie, the dialogue is shit. I thought the dialogue is fucking horrible. Itna basic. It's like the first thing that came into their mind and they just wrote it. You know, things like that. And especially, like I'm saying, because of the tone that they're going for, which is so deep and gritty and everything, you need dramatic value in your dialogue to convey the depth that you're going for. That is one of the biggest problems, I thought.
And I agree with you. I agree with you on a lot of those points. One thing about the tone that you said, that it's going for that epic feel, right? That epic, like, Lord of the Rings kind of feel, which I know every critic has said this.
Not exactly Lord of the Rings. No. I don't agree with the critics on Lord of the Rings.
Listen. So, hear me out, right? So this one critic, not critic, but he just does YouTube shows and all. He's a film pundit, if you want to use that word. Robert Meyer Burnett. I follow him. He's really cool. So he was saying in his video, and I'm taking this from him because he laid it out really well. That there's a lot of stuff in this movie, particularly every Zack Snyder movie, but this one particularly, because it's so much Zack Snyder, that there's three levels, right? One, it's really not for the casual viewer. You have to be on a certain level for Zack Snyder movies. I'm not saying it's a deeper than cinema thing. I'm saying just in terms of comprehending. Theek hai.
Yeah, you need to be more into Snyder to appreciate.
Yeah. Simplest way to put it. Second was, he used the example of when Aquaman is going into the water. Right before it, you have this rock song playing, country song. You have this song playing, and he's just like taking his shirt off, looking amazing. He looks amazing. And then the water is hitting him. Now, the way most people are gonna look at it is, okay, we get it. He's cool. Gana chala raha hai. Bahut cool hai. Aage badh. Right. And it serves no purpose to the story or anything at all, really. But with that image, that aesthetic he's going for, that, like, it's gonna appeal to a lot of people, not for the cool factor. It's gonna appeal to a lot of people because of, like, some people might call it pretentious. I mean, it's their opinion. It's their right to call it pretentious if they want to. But to me, that image speaks something. That image, and also, he also said this, Robert Mayer, also, fucking, hum critic nahi, hum bas baakiyon se le rahe. But he said, but they do it so well, so I have to give credit. He also said that, you know, with the Marvel movies, it's very much about these human characters having superpowers, but struggling with the human emotions and the human side of it, right? What Zack has gone for in this entire series, especially this one, is this godlike creatures, is godlike people coming down to earth and them dealing with this stuff. Because
That's kind of the essence of DC characters versus Marvel characters.
Yeah.
The reason Marvel characters have more charm is because they are essentially human.
Yeah.
And they're... So, Nostalgia Critic described it like this only. Marvel is humans being gods.
Yeah.
DC is gods being humans.
Yeah.
Now, so the
when you take a scene like... another one, right? So, when you take a scene like when Aquaman... Bruce meets Aquaman for the first time... And Aquaman leaves. And there's this singing sequence, right? Which goes on for like a minute or so. Now, a lot of people are not going to like it. We know that. It looks like you didn't like it. Tera chehra dekh ke lag raha hai thoda. But and that's fine. You're allowed to not like it. That's fine. You can have your own reasons. But why some people may not like it, I'm not saying that's the only reason, is that what is the tone and aesthetic is going for in that scene? That kind of echoes that mythological, because that is the word that I can describe this movie with what is going for. That song sequence kind of speaks to that mythological tone he's going for. And if you're not really on board with that idea of being mythological in my superhero comic book movie, you're not going to dig it. You're gonna say, ye kya kar raha hai, niklao yahan se, ye kya wannabe, tum director kuch bhi aa gaye. And I get that, completely fine. I don't think that scene, like, really added to the story or anything. Could it have been cut out? Absolutely, it could have been cut out. And in an ideal world where this movie comes out in a theater, it should have been cut out. But knowing the backstory of this thing, knowing what he's going for, knowing his personal story behind this movie, right? And...
Yeah.
Like, you have extended scenes of grieving. When you know the behind the scenes, you get why that's happening. Yeah. And if you're not invested in it, if you're just like a toxic fans, loko movie chahiye tha bana diya, you're not gonna like it at all.
That's just dumb. So my thing is with stories in general, when you're trying to convey mythology or you're trying to convey godlike characters or something that of that scale, your story has to have enough substance to support that.
Fair enough,
Right? Because if I don't see enough substance there, enough important substance, I'm not going to perceive this person as a god. To me, that's just then a character that's poorly written. Mm-hmm. Which in this movie, I thought, honestly, was Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I thought they fucked her up a little bit because
after 84, you're saying that after 84?
Yeah, no, 84. Like,
okay. So we've set the bar. Okay, ab bol.
We don't do that here.
We don't do that here.
So they didn't fuck her up like they wrecked her and kya gaad bana de character. No. They didn't do her justice.
Counter.
So because and the biggest like just her score.
Acha. It got a little too. I'm like, twice? We get it. It does that like 20 times in the movie. That also,
not the No Man's Land score.
I'm saying either.
That shows up just twice. The rest of it, every time there's a scene, it's that same woman who was singing in the background of Avatar.
You know what, watching on a Book My Show stream, okay? So it had that captions on and all. But it was closed caption, so it was describing even like whenever music comes up, it was describing that. So the amount of times I have seen ancient lamentation music plays, it's crazy. And listen, I like that music, but yeah, it was overdone very much.
I feel if you did that for like Hippolyta or something.
You know when you say a word too many times, that word kind of feels weird and loses its meaning?
Yeah, I know.
Ancient lamentation music. These three words have now engraved in my skull, and I'm like, these are very weird words. Why would humanity create these words?
I really thought that was like a shitty thing to do because it's already A, established, B, fucking awesome.
Yep.
And if you don't have to have the woman singing, just play the first like 2-3 minutes of No Man's Land. It is all operatic and shit.
Yeah.
That would have worked perfectly fine. Even in the tone that they're going for, I thought that would work beautifully. Mm-hmm. But considering her arc also, her whole arc is that her people are the ones who warn them that Steppenwolf is already here.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it. Other than that, character-wise, I didn't feel anything for her in the movie.
Other than that,
it's Gal Gadot and she should get all the screen time in the world because she's amazing. But she's wonderful. So yeah, there was that. Then Flash. Let's get to Flash. Okay. Whenever he was Flash, I love him. It was amazing. It was far better than any, like I just thought that Snyder would have made a cool Batman movie. Now I think Snyder can make a Flash movie also. Because all the Flash scenes where he's being Flash and using his powers, brilliant.
Yep.
That's exactly what I wanted from Flash. Including all the time travel stuff that he does, the reversing of time, that was awesome. His intro scene, like I said, the entire scene, not just the part where he's going fast, the entire scene was, I thought, very well written and structured and everything. The problem I had was, how did him doing that relate into his character arc? Did you get that? Because I didn't get that. His whole thing was ki make a future for yourself. Ironic,
yeah,
because in terms of the past.
Yeah, in terms of character arcs, yeah, like a Flash, like we get, okay, at the start of the thing, he hasn't figured out who he wants to be, he doesn't have a job, blah blah blah, and at the end he's part of this grand team and he's got a job and all that, and he's,
yeah, that's cool,
you know, synced up with his father a little bit more, right? So but yeah, I agree with you, there wasn't much substance to character arc or depth. And I agree with you
And what I feel is that superhero movies of all movies need that the most. Because how the hell else are you going to take normal viewers who are actual humans and make them relate to those characters? You have to make them more human. And this giving them more depth is the way to do that. There were scenes which could have been far better paced also, I thought. Like I said, the first 2 hours of the movie needed far better pacing. That's the only aspect I feel where Justice League was better. The first half of the movie was far better paced.
Yeah.
Here, yeah, I do agree a lot of things could be cut out, and I know it's a director's cut. In a director's cut, you can be like, ye kyun dala, ye kyun nahi kata. That's the point of a director's cut. Everything the director has shot is in there. But I'm saying story-wise, it would have just made more sense to cut it down a little bit. And even here, the editing could have been smoother. Now I'm speaking to her technically, the editing could have been more polished. Maybe just one combing through of it could have done it. Even Aquaman. So what I said about Wonder Woman, the same thing.
Dude,
I feel
Aquaman
about...
guts nothing.
His whole thing is like, his whole thing is ki his movie was condensed into two scenes, and that was his arc in this movie.
That also makes sense why Aquaman wasn't given much in terms of like either character or death or
setting up for his solo movie.
Because he was the only one after Wonder Woman who had a solo movie in pre-production point.
Yeah.
So the Flash movie and Cyborg movie, that's... like they were slated and all, but
yeah.
So that's why I think, especially with Cyborg, they tried to, especially with hindsight now that like we know that. It's very unlikely that Ray Fisher is going to get any appearance in the DC movies at all because of all the drama that is going on.
All the vocalization, yeah.
So it's in hindsight, it makes me even more happy that he got a mini origin movie of his own in here.
Yeah, he did. Which is cool. It was really, really cool. And I think him talking about DC the way that he did is a big reason that Justice League was the way that it was in terms of treating Cyborg.
Also, I don't get... So the theatrical cut, they said one of the reasons was, okay, we need to lighten it up, literally, and make the image look like shit while cropping it.
Yeah.
Technical. But also, they were like, okay, we need to lighten it up in like tone and all. We need to crack in some jokes and shit. So going into this movie, I thought it would be much more in line with BVS. Still lighter than BVS, but BVS is a very like dark and somber kind of tone throughout. So I knew this movie would be lighter, but I was surprised at the amount of humor in this movie, and it was not cringy, awkward Joss Whedon humor. It was actually like, at least for me, it actually worked. Like Flash was witty here. He was annoyingly goofy in the other one. There's a difference between two. You're being funny at both. But in one, you're stupid as fuck. But in this one, he is his own character. He cracks jokes and all thoda bahut. But it lines up with the tone of this, with what Snyder's going for here much more. And it makes me respect the character much more. Which is a bigger thing entirely. The theatrical cut, not only is it a bad movie and worse than this thing, obviously, but
It disrespects
every character. Every character.
It does. Yeah, that was just made because it contractual. There was no passion. Here there is clearly passion and love for these characters behind it. That's definitely there. That's undeniable. I thought he was annoyingly goofy in this also.
That's fine. Like, it depends on the kind of humor you're into also.
His humor. So I thought, like, you're right. It was witty. But I disagree with the fact that it went with the tone. Okay. Because there's this whole...
it didn't go with the tone exactly, but it served the character. It makes me believe that character will do that thing instance.
That's true.
In that sense.
It fit the character, not the tone.
Yeah, obviously not.
Really took me out of the tone. There, that is why Alfred is my favorite character in the movie, because his humor is so dry... It fits with a gritty tone.
Yeah.
Whereas...
I love Alfred when Bruce comes down and Alfred is meeting everyone. I'm going to get the cups. I don't know where I'll find them.
Alfred is so cool. Jeremy Irons is so cool.
Also, so, the golden line. If you can't handle the bull charging at you, don't wave the red cape. And red the way cape. He says it with his... I love him.
So that's what I'm saying. His humor fits a little more with the tone because it's dry, whereas Flash is a little more jovial. So it undercuts the impact I felt that he was going for in all those scenes.
Yeah,
there
that
are
makes sense.
A few jokes which work in the beginning, like when he's recruiting him and stuff, like snack hole is still okay. I was really surprised to see that that was a Snyder thing. I really thought that was a Joss.
Yeah, yeah. Even I thought that was a Joss joke.
I totally thought that was a Joss joke. But yeah, so that...
I love one of the funniest things I love. When they're going to resurrect Superman, take a truck mein baithe hai, and the, checking the ID. Aye, aye. And then he goes, I what the
fuck? Even Aquaman's joke. Aquaman has like one joke in the movie and it fucking caps. Works so much. And he's like,
B. Let me see A again.
That was awesome. That was so cool. So yeah, there are moments of humor which work. I just feel they need to be toned down a little because of, again, the tone that he's trying to achieve. Now getting to Batman.
Huh.
It's pretty much same thing as Flash, where all the parts where he's Batman are amazing. All the parts where he's... and I actually, like, I can't believe I like Affleck in a movie.
You didn't like him in BVS?
That's only because everything around him was shit. And he was like the best part of it.
Okay, okay.
Not because he was like great or anything. So Ben Affleck was really good in this. However, again, Batman's arc was not... I won't say it didn't have substance. It had substance. Not enough for a 4-hour movie. Because if you see, the first like hour and a half is him saying, oh, I have to fulfill my promise to Superman. And I was like, that's good. That's a good arc. It shows a lot about the philosophy of Bruce as a character. And it gives good motive for him to be here and for the story to move forward. I was like, that's really good. That's a good motive to have. And that's a good character setup. The problem is, once the Justice League are kind of together, his arc becomes, now I'm just operating on faith, Alfred.
Yeah.
What?
Also, yeah, I was like, I didn't expect to say this going into the movie because like I love Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne and Batman in BVS. He's like one of my favorites.
He is a good role.
Yeah. I'm surprised I'm going to say this, but I think this movie did not deliver on Batman at like not at all, but it did not deliver on Batman, especially compared to what I think what should have come after the theatrical cut.
You mean
I think
character-wise or action-wise?
Both. Okay. I think this Batman peaked in the warehouse fight sequence, both in terms of intention, morality is a little thoda tricky because it's stabby people.
Grey morality.
That... and action as Batman, all that. I think this one, honestly, I would say, if you want to speak character arcs, like where a character is at the start and where they are, I think the theatrical cut did it slightly better. Where there is that one scene I do like from the theatrical cut, if I have to confess my sins. There's one scene I actually think, like, had they originally shot it and it was here, it would have been nice. When Bruce... after they've decided we need to get Superman back, Bruce is talking to Alfred and Alfred's like, are you sure you're gonna do this thing? And Bruce says ki, Clark was a better human than I was. He had a family, he had a job, like we need, the team needs him. And then Alfred's like, but what does he need? And he's like, oh, he'll know, whatever. I think that thing of him having that guilt of having killed, like getting Superman killed, bringing him back, I think it works better in the theatrical cut. Which, I mean, sorry to all the gods old and new, but I have to confess a couple of sins.
so yeah, that's one thing. The only reason it was done better over there is because there is enough substance for it to fit in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas it's not enough to fit a 4-hour thing. And you could tell they were struggling how to carry his thing forward, because his whole thing is, I have to assemble the team. I made a promise to Clark. I have to assemble the team. Okay, team is assembled. Now what? Faith. That I was just like, come on, dude. Faith? Bruce Wayne operating on faith? What?
Also, so let's get into, I think we've talked, like, let's get into what three things are left. Theek hai, three main things we haven't discussed yet. A, Superman. B, everything related to the nightmare, all the visions everyone's getting, like Cyborg and Bruce, they both get visions. And the granddaddy of them all, Darkseid.
Yes, let's now, discuss.
Yeah. So let's start with Superman.
Darkseid for the last. Let's start with Superman.
Yeah. So they changed the reason for them bringing back Superman. In the theatrical cut, they force in some the forced team conflict when they're discussing we need to bring Superman back. And yeah. Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman is like, no, technology is bad. Tu 100 saal se kya kar rahi tu? Matlab, what?
Love you doing the accent.
I'm sorry, it was, listen, even gals, if she ever watches this video, even she's gonna be like, oh, you know what, fair enough, mere ko udhar nahi ho raha tha. I mean, I'm sorry, you're amazing. Oh shit, she's also gonna see her Wonder Woman review.
Yeah, I think we're in the bad books of Gal Gadot anyway. or Bugs on Bugs.
So, like, they have that conflict when they're deciding to bring Superman back. And there, it's more, it's just Bruce pushing for it. It's like, no, we have to bring him back. And
And
it's a good line there when Wonder Woman says, why? Because of your guilt? Oh! And it's a badass delivery, very bad delivery. But that line makes sense, that there and all. And the entire team is kind of like flip-floppy on it. Yeah, should we not? But here, everyone is almost on board with it instantly, which I like. And also, they have a good reason to bring him back. Not just because, oh, I feel guilty, we got him killed, he was strong and all. But also...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Batman's motivation to bring the team together is superb. I really love that.
But also... They realize, bro, ye OP tha. That's why they never came, all these aliens and all, they never attacked because they knew Superman. And I'm like, that's Superman, bitch. Exactly. And that's also what I said when Superman comes back and he has that badass entry. Impressed.
Not impressed. Ooh, one of the best moments in the movie.
Yeah. Easily. So I love Superman's also. You're going to put Hans Zimmer's theme. When you're talking about Superman, of course I'm going to love it. Of course. When Barry's like, I know what we're all thinking. I'm not going to say it. Who's going to say it? And then they play the theme.
That's actually good. Yeah. But even there, they finally like, we need Superman. I'm like, leave it. No. Don't say it. It was good till then. That's legit like Barry in Justice going, it's a cave. A bad cave.
But Madhav, you're not understanding.
I usually don't want to strangle people.
Madhav, you're not understanding. What is brunch? You wait in line for an hour for what is essentially lunch. People are a little slow. And then you have the greatest detective of all time going, I'll try to catch up.
Fuck you, WB.
I have seen the theatrical cut way more times than any sane man should.
Yeah, that. I don't know what kind of endurance or obsession masochism you have. Superman, I'll join them.
So they start to get Superman back at the sequence, and again, they have an entire subplot of Silas Stone entirely cut out from there, from the theatrical cut, which.
Yeah.
Fuck, like. That touched my heart when I sacrificed.
Cyborg's thing, and I'm happy it happened.
Yeah. So they go there. They're about to bring Superman back. And Cyborg has this vision where he sees this nightmare world where Wonder Woman has died. Aquaman has died. Darkseid has taken over.
Superman is going to be killed.
Not killed. He is succumbing to the anti-life.
Acha, okay.
So you see, he's shot of the Batcave.
Yeah.
So it's one of two shots in the entire movie which is repurposed from older films.
I saw that. I saw someone on Instagram posted where he sort of like looks up or something.
So when he's holding that Luiska body, like burnt up body, and Darkseid puts his hand over, that's taken from when he kills Zod.
Yeah,
when he screams. And his Superman's last shot in the Nightmare Vision, when he comes in front of the Injustice League
And he has laser eyes and stuff.
That's from BVS ka entry, when he drops into terrorist thing. So that
I saw that. I think that's the only comparison video I've seen. That and the Flash recruiting scene. Those are the only two comparison videos I saw. I'm like, in my YouTube recommendation else is going to be filled with this. I'm like, I don't want to see it.
Cyborg gets that vision and he, like, his armor defense system, and it makes so much sense now, because in the theatrical cut, Superman comes back, he's a little bit evil for a while, and Cyborg's armor starts fucking up, and he's like, it's my armor.
You were saying something.
Cyborg gets that vision in the theatrical cut, his armor defense system starts acting against Superman, but in the theatrical cut, it just felt like, you know what, cool lagega, dal deta hai. But here it makes sense why it does that.
Yeah, there's a little more reasoning given to actions and moments in Snyder Cut, which is good. The intention over there is good. I just feel they needed to be reasons which matter a little more. Now I'm talking about character-wise. And since we're talking about character and we're on Superman,
I know what you're going to say it. I'm not going to be the one to say it.
I'm not going to say it. I thought it wasn't bad.
It was certainly better than what we got last time.
It was better than what we got last time, for sure. But
yeah. He was a Deus Ex Machina.
Still rushed. No. I don't care about the Deus Ex Machina. I don't care about that. I genuinely don't.
Rush, part? After he comes back or the entire coming back and all?
After he comes back. Clark again. And not evil Superman. They rushed it.
Yeah. They did.
I felt they really rushed his arc. Because he literally has like, what, 3 scenes?
Yeah. He has that fight at Heroes Park, farm scene, gets the suit and comes back in the end.
That's what I've always thought about Superman. He's not the most interesting character. His weakness is a green rock. There is not much like over there for me to latch onto him. Mm-hmm. His main thing is Lois.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that humanizes him. And Lois herself is like, oh, Clark, I'm dependent on you. I'm not a person without you. Yeah. Who will catch me when I'm falling, Clark? So, there is that codependency there. But again, there's not much. Like, we know, okay, they're together.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? Although I will say, I like the mashup.
Now kiss.
What the fuck? Yeah. Waste of Amy Adams, dude. What I do like is the mashup of both his father's voiceovers.
Yeah.
Jor-El and whatever his name is. Mr. Kent.
Jonathan Kent.
The mashup of those two was very nice.
Yep.
It was proper cinematic. It was exactly what that scene needed. Aesthetically, story-wise, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Was there an explanation for the black suit? I may have missed that.
Not in the movie,
no? Huh. So, okay. I mean, I don't really mind. It's cool to see. They still rushed it. Like, when the whole movie is about, you know, at least the first half is him bringing him together so they can bring Superman back. And Superman is the sort of heart of the Justice League because he's the Captain America. No, he's like, we don't trade lives.
Yeah.
You need more over there for him to function in this story.
Yeah, I agree.
Um, And that's the problem with every Superman. Every, even the Christopher Reeves one. Where it was more like exciting to see him do Superman stuff. He's not the best character.
You haven't seen Superman and Lois. To dekh. It won't like completely turn you over ki, like suddenly you're the biggest Superman fan.
But it seems more family drama based. And I need to be in the mood to watch it.
What that show does really well is it's what Man of Steel should have been, I feel like. Because it takes the Man of Steel ka aesthetic, not just in like framing and color and all. I'm just saying that modern aesthetic, but still keeps Superman rooted in who he is. It doesn't change the character for a modern world completely. And that show does it really well.
Let's see. So, and that's what like really confused me, because here you have a 4-hour cut where at least half an hour has gone to Cyborg. Hmm. Everyone else's arcs are also like, there's not enough substance there yet. They're stretching it out. So why rush this? Or why not compact the other arcs so that it seems kind of balanced? That's where I thought that, again, Zack Snyder's storytelling needs to be more polished. Mm-hmm. But when Superman kicks ass, ooh,
he does a 300 Sparta kick.
Yeah,
to Steppenwolf.
I was talking to a friend, and he like really didn't like it.
Okay.
So he was like, it was like Snyder was trying to rip off 300, but forgot that he only made 300.
Can you imagine all said Hadrico, like Hadri, so you're gonna rise up and you're just gonna boom, kick marega tu. Like, oh, I get it, like 300. Yes, that was intentional. Yes,
it is a callback. I tribute myself. So yeah, Superman kicking ass, that's cool. What was the second point we had to discuss? Anti-life. No,
Superman, last my dark side.
Nightmare.
Nightmare, yes. Nightmare. Oh, wait. Should we keep Nightmare for last or dark side? Because dark side kind of... Okay, take it. Nightmare. Yeah, so what are you... Oh, yeah, we haven't even touched on the epilogue Nightmare sequence.
Yeah, so let's just get that out of the way. What the fuck?
Listen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, so listen, is it necessary? Not at all. Okay. That scene does not have a place in this movie. Okay.
Yeah,
however, we know why it is there now. Like, if you read into it a little bit.
We know why it's
because
there.
Snyder was like, listen, this will probably be my last movie for like DC and all. So let me just put it in as a like fun little thing. And also, listen, regardless of however you feel about the whole thing, like I'm a little bit more the positive side, generally I am, but like I do have gripes with it overall. I'm just glad we got a scene of Affleck, Batman, and Jared Leto's Joker. I'm just glad there is a one scene in this, what, five movies or four movies, because we're not gonna see Affleck as Batman again. Only after, like Flash, he's gonna have a small role and he's basically leaving. Jared Leto, even more so, we're not gonna see him in the future as Joker.
I hope we don't, dude.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm not a fan of his Joker, really.
I don't know.
Like, I think here he was like 10% better, but even overall, I didn't.
Yeah, overall, I thought.
Yeah. But I'm just glad we have a scene, like a live action of these versions in one scene together. Also, fun fact, they were not on set together. In fact, none of them were. Except maybe two people.
Have you seen the shot composition?
I'm saying like baakiyon ka to samajh mein aa raha hai ki like green screen pe kiya hai, alag se kiya hai. Like,
I'm not talking about green screen.
Kya?
I'm talking about like they do this patchwork, no?
When they
don't have a particular actor, they take a stunt double and uska shoulder lete
hai,
piche se, and then they show the guy. Yeah.
But I think that It's just a little funny that Ben Affleck and Jared Leto have never been on set together, even though they're playing the arch nemesis of each other throughout like three movies,
Because
BVS, Justice League, Suicide Squad.
BVS बोला DC has been fucking up since 2013.
Yeah.
He was leagues better than Suicide Squad counterpart, but that's not saying much because Suicide Squad was shit.
Yeah.
Even this was kind of shit. I like the fact that he sort of this Joker knows the Batman's pressure points
Yeah.
because that's what Joker and Batman's dynamic is. Joker is like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
But
I'm not touching
I'm not touching.
anybody.
Especially with this Batman who will fucking kill you.
Exactly. I guess I need to see it again to know if I like it or not. There was this Harley Quinn exposition.
हाँ
Okay.
तो he says that Harley Quinn died in my arms and she told me to like when I kill you I'll do it slowly and Joker calls his bluff he's like oh you're good you almost had me
At me, and he's like, take this card as a contract of our
also
friendship.
I like that Easter egg of the card in BVS if you notice the nightmare scene in BVS watch it again he has that card taped to his gun
Oh.
I'm like ah I see nice. Other than that, oh, also in that scene when we're talking Nightmare, right? We have Mira there, Amber Heard. She has a British accent in this movie. In the theatrical, she had an American, and also in Aquaman, she had an American accent. And I'm like,
Which I
interesting.
don't think, because Amber Heard is a garbage human anyway, and I don't think she cared anything about this. It's like paisa mil raha karo.
No, it's like it's not like she just winged it because her previous footage when she meets Aquaman that was shot back then, no. So clearly they had decided on her having that accent and after the theatrical cut it must have been like you know what
Yeah, it
normally
just got lost
rakhte
in the
hain
confusion or whatever.
yeah
That's why I kind of that's one of the last things I care about, honestly. This guy accent or whatever. It was kind of cool to see Deathstroke working with Batman. Glad to see Cyborg still alive.
Yeah.
And evil Superman, I guess we got a glimpse of him. Fine. I still feel this would have worked better as a either a DVD bonus feature or a post credit thing, or they just put it on YouTube as, hey, we had this deco. Because after Superman does that thing at the epilogue, none of what comes after is needed whatsoever. And I don't think it adds anything to the movie, like you're saying, even if it's not necessary, it adds aesthetically. I understand that to an extent. These three scenes really didn't, because there's nothing more to do that you're gonna add aesthetically. Ho gaya khatam. This is literally epilogue. So him saying, I still like that the original thing was that Lex Luthor tells him that it's Bruce Wayne, and it's not, shouldn't we have a
League
league?
of our own.
Shouldn't we have a league of our own? Fucking
Also, that just makes me even sad that we're not gonna see a Ben Affleck Batman movie with Deathstroke because that's what it set up and
Yeah,
it
that
just breaks my heart.
would have been really cool, really, really cool. But so that, and then the Martha Manhunter comes back and he's like, can I join? And Affleck is like,
Cool.
cool, आ जा तू नेक्स्ट वाले में. ओ वेट.
तो इसको लिटिल डज ही नो
क्या यार, आई वाज जस्ट लाइक, एंड दैट शिट इज लाइक, दोस थ्री सीन्स आर लॉन्ग. दैट्स लाइक एट लीस्ट अ गुड 20 मिनट्स इन टोटालिटी. सो लाइक देन इज दिस कैन दिस बी कंसिडर्ड 4 आवर्स? आई डोंट थिंक सो. नाउ लेट्स गेट टू डार्क साइड एंड स्टेपन वुल्फ. अगेन, यू आर द पॉजिटिव वन, यू गो.
No, listen, positive as in I never say that, like, okay, the things I like, I never say that it's completely justified at all. Okay. Does Darkseid need to be in this movie? Not really. Does Darkseid have any, like, thing to do? Not at all.
No.
Okay. He's yeah. just Thanos from Guardians of the Galaxy, but extended.
Exactly.
That. But I do like that at least now I understand Steppenwolf's motivations. I don't sympathize with him, but I understand, like, okay, he's got a depth to this guy. 50,000 worlds. Isko imagine, like, when Desaad tells him, you've got 50,000 worlds to give him. And he's like, shit, kaun count kar raha hai?
Who was that guy, by the way?
Desaad. His henchman, right? The middleman.
Oh, okay.
That's Desaad.
I don't recognize him from anything.
He's kind of like...
Ebony
Maw. Huh, basically, he's kind of like Ebony Maw.
I know that. I'm just saying I didn't... Like, I phir bhi know Steppenwolf from somewhere. I don't know who this guy is. Like, even from the comics or whatever.
Yeah, he's very, kya bolte, niche character, I would say.
Okay.
So Steppenwolf makes much more sense. He's not just going, mother, mother is calling me, mother. He's not doing that at all. He's got some cool shit on him. Like, I love that.
In Justice League, I can just imagine when he's going, mother, his theme song, kya itna bura hoon main ma. Like, I'm sorry, when Darshil Safari from Tare Zameen Par is a better character than you, you fuck off.
Listen, this is why you come to us for these reviews, right? Where else are you going to get Darshil Safari?
All three of you. Where else? Ek koi banda baith ke dekh raha hoga. Tere kidhar se?
In no other review ever are you going to hear Darshil Safari.
I'm going to get Darshil Safari in comparison to Steppenwolf. Fuck, so is Darkseid the Aamir Khan of this universe?
As he's putting lasers, all is fine, all is well, all is well. Superman, Superman is holding Lois, all is well, all is well.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. So, so I understand Steppenwolf better, done much better. I actually felt like, okay, this is a scary ass dude. He will break you like a twig. Unlike the last movie.
He was a bit more intimidating. Mm-hmm. There was, like I said, that everything in this movie has a better reason to it or has a reason, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not the best reasons. So here's what I felt with Steppenwolf. Like, it's basically told in exposition that, okay, he's been banished because of some mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Had that mistake been shown, I would have been even more on board. Like that they gave him a reason. But I'm like, okay, tell us the mistake. Mm-hmm. Tell us why it is important to you and how you have developed from that point. So I can feel something more for you.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
But the problem I have with Steppenwolf is not just the fact that his motivation is too thin, which it is. It is not, again, this is where the story needed more working.
Hmm.
His philosophy is not in direct conflict with the Justice League's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Their actions are that they're both after the Mother Box and that Steppenwolf needs to, like, surround the earth in fire or whatever, and Justice League is like, we can't live here, please don't do that. Their philosophies need to be in direct conflict. A good example, a better example to give is Infinity War, where Thanos's philosophy is that I can sacrifice lives for resources or for so and so gain to save other lives. I can sacrifice some lives to save others. And Captain America says, we don't
trade lives. Yeah.
Direct conflict in philosophy.
Yep.
And then they're after, like, saving the planet or whatever.
Yep.
Here, the actions seem tangential.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's more of a, oh, the action is kind of like he's doing something, but Justice League cannot let him do that. The why.
It's more reactionary.
Exactly. The why of it, the philosophies need to be more in conflict. And I felt ki they could have done that very easily, because the Justice League's whole thing is we need to come together and unity. Their philosophy is unity and teamwork, right? And so had Steppenwolf's thing been ki I feed on hate, I feed on war, had it been something like what Ares's thing was in Wonder Woman, ki keep people fighting amongst
each
other.
It could have also been, now that you mention it,
yeah.
I feel like, so the reason why Steppenwolf and all, they hadn't invaded Earth yet, was because the last time they lost was because that planet's entire, all forces joined together and they beat his ass, Darkseid's ass.
Exactly.
And because Superman was present all these years.
Yeah.
So now that you say it, because Steppenwolf in this movie, he doesn't care that, oh, there's a Justice League forming.
Like, exactly.
So what if he was also actively, no, I can't let them unite, because that's what defeated us the last time.
Exactly. Had his thing been united we stand tall or whatever, and divided we fall, whatever that quote is. I can't remember the quote.
United we stand, divided we fall. Thik to bola. Yeah, that's
with
all.
That only or what?
Or kya?
Oh shit! I thought it was like something more like dramatic or whatever. Whatever. So that had his whole thing been ki I feed on hate, and keeping people divided is what will help me win. That would have been so much better, because then them coming together, the stakes are higher. It would have been more satisfying for all of them, and their arcs would have made slightly more sense.
Sure.
It would not have felt spread too thin.
Yeah.
So that. Now, Darkseid
is... it's in his name.
He was better in Injustice. The games.
Huh. Yeah.
I liked him so much more in the game.
Yeah, obviously.
Here, aisa lagta nahi ki they took the game guy and like made him go to gym or something.
Yeah,
patla ho gaya bechara, khana nahi kha raha hai.
It also makes sense though here, because he was supposed to be the big bad of the next two movies, and also in the next movies, he would never have gotten the amount of character work that Thanos got. He was always going to be a big evil guy. It's in his name. He's on the dark side.
Dark side, yeah.
That's
he
all.
He lives in a planet called Apocalypse. Yeah.
I feel like, wo, you remember the first X-Men movie when Hugh Jackman's like, Storm, Cyclops, what do they call you? Wheels?
Yeah, it's yeah, so Darkseid,
it
like,
is what it is.
Had they had it been actually like Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's just there in one scene and Steppenwolf is like speaking to him or whatever, I would have been fine with that. The thing is, he's shown in all the flashbacks, he is definitely a prominent character.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a prominent character who does nothing. So I don't feel anything for him. He really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Also, another problem I have. Why bring up Anti-Life in the middle of the movie?
Because sequel bit.
I know, but like, post-credit mein kar lo.
Oh yeah, that could have been done also.
That would have been a better use of Martha Manhunter. Like, he finds Anti-Life or something. Or he's found out that Darkseid has found Anti-Life and he's on his way here. Or that's why he wants to like get Earth or something.
Chris Terrio, take notes. Chris Terrio, take notes. Notes.
I don't say Mysterio.
For the next franchise, you enter in the middle of and
decide to do what you do. Yeah. So like, the Anti-Life in the middle of it was just like, come on.
It felt just thrown in.
There was that. That's those are my biggest complaints of the movie. It's just there needs to be more thought given to why the characters are doing what they're doing, what their arc means in this universe. It should be more in line with the tone you're achieving, or tailor the tone to the arcs, and have it just be more interesting in general. They're on the right path. That's what I'm saying. Snyder has realized that he needs to focus more on the story part of things. Now he just needs to polish those storytelling skills. If he can do that, if he can become a good storyteller with the visual value that he brings to movies, holy shit, can you imagine those movies?
He'll be on a different level.
He'll definitely be on a different level. So here it felt like he saw Nolan and he's like, Debra.
I just imagining Debra, and of course, like, listen, we know all the behind the scenes stuff, so let's just look forward to the future and, you know,
joke.
You know, let's have some fun, let's all enjoy. So
I mean, Debra is like, why don't you just go fuck Nolan, bro?
Okay, wow. I'm imagining when Debra and Chris Nolan, they sat down to watch the theatrical cut, which they did, and imagine they were watching and Nolan's like, Bola, please. We can never let him see this.
Bro. Man.
Just imagine, like, they go to the studio, like, what did you do to our movie? Yeah, they're like, don't try to understand it. Just feel it. And that, folks, is how you come full circle.
Oh, man. Yeah, so this Zack Snyder's Justice League, overall, I thought cinematically, it's quite good. I still would have liked it to be a little bit brighter. Just a little.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Because there was a lot of brown and a lot of gray going on. He's on the right path with giving reasons behind everything. Now they just need to make those reasons relevant.
You're saying that as his next movie, which is a zombie heist movie coming out in
I hope it has good storytelling. I really hope it does.
I mean, I'd love it if it does. It's a zombie heist movie. So let's go in with expectations.
Yeah, I'm not going in with like, are kya must, like, deep epic movie rahega. I know it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, fun. But I also am so happy for Snyder that he's getting back into his groove.
Yeah. That's awesome. What I want to say about this movie is I'm really glad he got a chance to show his actual vision.
Yep.
That's a chance almost no filmmakers get ever. So I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy his family has recovered now. I'm really happy about the lobbying behind the movie.
Yeah.
What I don't like are the fans who are like blindly following everything and using all the stuff that happened as an excuse as to, oh, that much stuff happened. This is why this is good.
I know. Yeah, this is why this is good. That part I don't agree with at all. I can empathize. I can understand.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean like if it's a contrivance or if it's a, you know, let's just say it, if it's something, a bad plot point or something, that doesn't excuse it necessarily.
Exactly. It should not be used as an excuse. That's just disrespectful, I think.
Yeah, obviously.
So, yeah, those are like my main thoughts of the movie. I pretty much, mere ko lag raha tha, I'm going to be like going on and on and on. I'm kind of proud of myself. I concise.
We have improved.
I weed and cutted my arguments. go through my notes, see if there.
I talked about everything I wanted to. Anything? I don't remember.
There are moments where the CGI is not so great, but they were working with a limited budget, so I understand that.
Yeah.
And with most superhero movies of this scale, there is going to be some stuff that looks very clearly seen. That's fine.
Yep.
Oh, also this is like tiny moment, just like offhand, let's just mention it. I didn't get why Steppenwolf was trying to be mean to Wonder Woman, where he's like, I saw your sisters beg for mercy.
Yeah, he was just trying to throw her off. Yeah. Yeah, like there was no any reason as such.
Dude, you're already kicking their ass.
Yeah.
Zyada self-indulgent ho raha hai, and yehi hota hai self-indulgent ho gaye. A Superman comes and fucks you up. Cuts your head off. He was getting ahead of himself. counter.
I don't even know what kind of a counter it is. It is just you say something grand, something revelatory. But listen, I went into this not expecting, but even if it was, it wasn't, but even if it had been a worse movie in whatever universe than the theatrical cut, I would take it over that studio committee movie that came out, because this is very clearly one man's vision.
But
the fact that this is better than the theatrical cut by miles, miles it is better, is a thing to celebrate.
Leagues better.
And with that, everyone watching, thank you for watching or listening. What else are we planning? We're planning a Cyberpunk review sometime soon. We've been saying that for 3 months now, but let's see.
Yeah, hopefully in the next few days, because I finally finished it. I did all the endings. Finally we will get to it. And then I will see if I will watch Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen the first episode, no?
No. I'm going to do the binging thing.
It's actually we were on the same level. It's
like surprising some people.
Yeah, it surprised me. Like it was.
But still, I'm like, I will.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Because I recently did watch Hobbs and Shaw.
Get that taste out of it.
Like, yeah. So that I'm playing AC Origins now. So uska review should be out soon, depending on how much time I get. Abhi shoot kya mera 24th ko hai. So I'll be busy there. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Main thing with Snyder Cut, just thoda pace acha kar do, maybe 3 hours instead of 3.5. Write a little more story which matters. Your action is cool. Snyder, you are cool. Keep making movies, buddy.
Yep.
I'm saying that as if I'm Nolan to him.
हाँ बेटा अच्छा कर
मैं उसको एडवाइस दे रहा हूँ
दैट वेर द बेबी इज प्लेइंग विद समथिंग देन द ग्रैंड मास्टर जस्ट सिटिंग हा हा बेचारा
या देयर इज अ थिंग वेयर द चेस मीम
हा
इज लाइक दिस एंड कंप्यूटर इज लाइक
सो या एनीवे थैंक यू फॉर वाचिंग द वीडियो बेरिंग विद अस एंड
या
I mean, it's this is the kind of movie everyone's is gonna have an opinion on, whether or not you have seen it or not.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, if you have some positive ones, that's do cool. leave yeah, them
if
behind.
If someone enjoys this movie, please go ahead. I'm more on the average thing, obviously. But if someone enjoys it, don't go ahead, obviously.
And if you did enjoy the movie, do leave something down in the comments. If you didn't, please don't leave anything in the comments. We would rather not have that. Actually, you know what? I'm flip-flopping because we don't get anything in there anyway. So
we don't,
Why not?
Fuck it.
Kuch bhi hai, likh do.
Just do it.